What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Monthly Reset, because we don't have time to do this every week. I'm Bobby Shortall, and I'm here with Justin Townsend.
Hey there.
Justin, it's been a minute since we recorded a video game podcast. It's been over a month. We waited. We were going to record this show last week, and then we were like, maybe we should wait until after E3 so that what we're saying is somewhat relevant.
Yeah, and I think that was a good call.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We usually don't get into news, but it's E3 time, so we're going to talk about some news. This is not going to be a conference by conference breakdown of the show. It's just going to be, we've watched and have taken in everything, and we're going to talk about the stuff that left a good impression on us, left any impression on us, and just our general feelings. So with that idea, Justin, how did you feel about this E3 as a whole, just your general vibe, feeling, compared to last year?
Well, I thought last year was a really weird show, but in comparison to last year, this E3 made last year's look normal. I think this was a very disjointed, unsure of itself E3.
Okay.
A lot of the trailers were just full CGI trailers. We're in this like weird period, right? Where we got new consoles, where we found out the new Xbox console, Scarlett's going to hit in holiday 2020. So that's about a year and a half away. So we're in this, you know, in between period where I think some studios are holding back some games that are going to be debuting on, you know, Xbox Scarlett or PS5 or, you know, one of those two boxes. Mm-hmm. So we're getting a lot of like just very weird conferences. I thought Microsoft's conference started out real strong, and then we expected it to keep building, and it kind of just like went out with a whimper. Sony wasn't there, and then a couple of, you know, the publishers, Ubisoft had a strong opening, and then like kind of a weird show after that. Square did their thing. Nintendo always does their thing. Nintendo is just, we'll keep separate from this conversation because they're focusing on, you know, the Switch isn't going away anytime soon.
Right.
Bethesda, just like strange conferences. Not to say that there weren't cool games. There were definitely cool games. Mm-hmm. It just felt like E3 doesn't really know where it's going, and the conferences kind of displayed that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that let's say 2 years ago, right? I think 2 years ago, which was like the prime time, right in the middle of the console cycle, we got a lot of big announcements, a lot of, hey, this big franchise is coming, hey, this new franchise is coming, et cetera, right? The last, like, two and 3 years ago, they were huge years, right? Last year was more of like, hey, you already know what's coming, and here's just a little more about it. And then this year was a very strange year in the fact that it was, hey, here's some of that stuff you already knew was coming. Here's a little bit more about it. Or here's release dates for it. Or like you said, here's stuff that is new that maybe is coming soonish, but we're not going to show you what the game is. We're just going to show you, like you said, a CG trailer of the game. And this year struck me more than any other year was that we were getting a lot of non-gameplay looks at games that were coming out relatively soon in the grand scheme of things, or less than a year, right? Like we're less than a year away from a lot. Like Cyberpunk didn't show any gameplay in the E3 trailer, really. Like there was like those little glimpses of it after we got the
montage.
After we got the Keanu like reveal or whatever. But that was it, and that game's coming out in March. Or May.
Big offender is Square's Avengers game.
Yeah.
That's coming out in May. Mm-hmm. And so it's less than a year away, and we got not a hint of gameplay. And they're showing off gameplay behind closed doors, which apparently looks like it needs some more work, and that's mm-hmm. probably why they weren't showing it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give me great faith. Like, if your game's coming out within a year, you should be able to have a stage demo with some sort of gameplay.
Yeah, or yes, I mean, and at least like you could have at least given in the trailer, even if it was like, you know, canned gameplay that you ran a million times in your studio to make sure that it was smooth. Like, you should have shown us something. And it's funny because that game is almost a year away. So at least there's something there. And we talked about this before. I think the game is getting delayed. I think that's going to be a fall 2020 game. Because I think it's going to need more time. Everyone who saw it was like, yeah, like the idea of it is cool. And like, it's neat that all of these different heroes have different movesets and abilities, but the animations were kind of like seemingly not finished. The sort of the way the game, like the hit, like the a lot, everyone I read said that the hits, like the way that like it looked when Thor hit somebody with their hammer, it just didn't have much impact
or weight to it.
And they were all sort of very like contained, like, you know, in a small area, fights with enemies, you know, almost like Arkham Asylum type of situation. So, I mean, who knows? The game is obviously very early. They announced it like 3 years ago, and this is the first time they're showing it. So I'm sure they just had that feeling like you've got to get out there. We've got to show something, but
we don't even know exactly what the game is.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We have no idea, you know, is it single player with multiplayer components? Like, mm-hmm. is it more than just the Avengers? Because we saw Hank afterwards and they talked about constantly updating it. Is it a live game?
Yeah.
Like, what is that game?
Yeah, it's definitely a live game. So we read that Game Informer article, right, that said it has a discrete single player campaign and then it has like multiplayer like missions that you would go on or something. You know, that like a multiplayer campaign that you can also play single player but is meant to be played with multiple people because there's like AI people controlling it. I'm willing to go on that guy got the best information and but like other outlets like GameSpot, like they don't, that's not what they're reporting about what they were told, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's so weird that we don't know what the game is. It's just a bizarre thing. Maybe they don't quite know exactly yet. And that's why they're not, you know, totally forward about it.
Well, that's not good, but no, I think you're right. I think that game's getting delayed and that will come out simultaneously across both current gen and next gen.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that game got slammed hard on Twitter, online. And I think that for a game made by Crystal Dynamics, who made they didn't make the most recent Tomb Raider game, but they made Rise of the Tomb Raider and the initial reboot. They are a studio known for making really visually impressive looking games. Rise of the Tomb Raider on an Xbox One looked unbelievable, right? So for even the trailer they showed, like, which had some cool looking moments, but like, wasn't anything special about it. And I think we are very spoiled now. I think that like every time we see a new game, we're expecting it to look like the best looking game we've ever seen. Cause that's what our lives have been the last couple of years, right? Is every time they show something new, it's like, holy shit, this looks amazing. And like, look at Spider-Man. When they first showed Spider-Man, I was like, holy shit, look at this. And when they showed this, I don't think, other than the fact that, oh, these are the Avengers, we're going to play as the Avengers, because that was also, we didn't know that before the show started. Other than that, there was nothing like visually jaw-dropping about what they showed, and it was a CG trailer, maybe they used in-engine cutscenes.
It was an engine.
So if it's an engine, like, that's cool, like, but even so, like there, I don't think, again, but it's a while away. The polish is the last thing that happens on games. So hopefully it comes together.
Can I share my hot take?
Yeah.
I really like Captain America's costume.
Really?
Yeah. I like how it's like, I like, that's a dude that should be wearing hockey pads. Like, he's, you know, he's a super soldier, but he's not wearing armor or anything. Like, I like the fact that he's wearing, like, something that you would see somebody in the military wearing.
You would think, though, that
a big,
like,
bulky, or like a big bulky thing.
Tony could have made him a armor that was just as protective, but didn't have to look like he was like a character from Rainbow Six Siege.
I know, but for some reason, like, it to me, like, it's different. Like, all right, we're doing something different. Like, own it.
Yeah, and I will say one thing. I do not care that they, like, this idea that people are like, they look like, they don't look like the movies. Like, I never expect them to look like the movie characters. Like, why would you?
What do you think the budget for the game is, if they're going to get their likeness? Like, you think the budget is $1 billion?
But also, it's its own thing, right? They want it to be its own thing. They want it to, the video game stuff to be separate from the movie stuff.
Yeah,
100%. So it should be different. We're on the kind of the Square tone, and I know you don't care at all about Final Fantasy VII. But what they showed of Final Fantasy VII, I thought looked really good, and I think that
it looks good.
Yeah, and I think that the idea for the battle system is very intriguing. Like, it seems like it can be played either very tactically, almost like turn based, or just very action oriented. Each hit of your button is a hit of Cloud's sword, is what they were saying. You know, they spent, as Square is wont to do when they show off Final Fantasy games, they spent a long time showing one battle, which was, it's just a weird way to show off the game, because, like, it really was just him bouncing back and forth between the two characters doing the same attacks over and over again. But I do appreciate that now, right now that they're doing it the way they're doing it, when the spider tank is far away, Cloud is really not functionally able to hit it. Like, his sword, he has a sword, right? He doesn't have an arm gun, and so Barret has a function there. And in the Final Fantasy VII, the original, like, you know, you're sitting on a turn-based battlefield. There's no distance. You know, there's no depth to the battlefield. So, I like that that's there. It looks great. I think that, they are also, Square was very good at being super unclear about what things were, you know. So
you're kidding me.
This Final Fantasy VII remake is coming out in March of 2020. It's two Blu-rays worth of content, which is like a very old way to talk about your game. But apparently, it's only the first part of the game. Like, so it's going to be a very sizable game, but set only in the Midgar region, which is like the city, which is not the most of Final Fantasy VII. So I'm very curious to see how that works out. But I think it looks really nice. Other than that, at Square, they showed a lot of the stuff you expect Square to show. A lot of RPGs, a lot of some old games they're bringing back. You know, nothing really from the other Western studios that they own was there. I really think that's probably because all hands are on deck for the Avengers game at this point, because it's not just Crystal Dynamics, it's Eidos Montreal helping out, and those are kind of those two biggest studios. The other one is the one that did Thief, I believe, which I'm not sure what that studio is doing. They don't own IO anymore, obviously, so that's out of the picture. Off the top of my head, I cannot think of anything else at Square that I walked away from. There were moments in Square where I was like, oh, that's cool. But I for right now, there's something coming to my head of things that were there. What was your... We talked about Avengers kind of being this sort of disappointment and kind of a symbol of how weird the show was. What was your favorite thing that you saw?
I think I'm going to have to say Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs showed a sizable chunk of gameplay, and then after that, they showed another half hour of it on one of their live streams. Mm-hmm. And everything I saw from Watch Dogs, I really liked. Like, I liked Watch Dogs 2 a lot. I fought pretty hard in Talking Games that year to get that thing on the top 10 list. You know, this system that they're doing where anybody you meet could be recruited and played as seems pretty dope. Like, that seems like a rad idea. And, like, I have no idea how that's all going to work behind the scenes, and if they have just certain types of characters that'll be split across all different NPCs. Like, I don't know. But what they showed seemed really cool, and I like the style of Watch Dogs. I want to go kick ass as like an 89-year-old retired assassin. Like, that seems fun.
Yeah.
But like, it was the thing is like Watch Dogs showed gameplay. And mm-hmm. I thought the gameplay looked really cool. And like, I like how they're not rushing it out for it to be out holiday this year, which is what you would expect since there's no Assassin's Creed this year.
Yeah.
Knowing that game is also coming out in March was a, that was a surprise. And so like, I'm there day one for Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing about the Watch Dogs presentation, I think, and the reason why it did so well was, A, yes, it showed gameplay, but also the game has like a clear idea and vision of what it wants to be. You know, it's not, it has a new exciting mechanic, right? Which is not which is something you don't see every day. It has a clear idea and vision, and the Watch Dogs has been good about this in general, especially with 2, of like the tone and the messaging behind the game is very clear, and I think that's great. Like, they have a great pitch about it, you know, and they have a pitch that's equally like feeling as it is mechanic, and I think that is what drove that thing home so well. And also, it's also weird. Like, the granny walking around like was weird, and I think that was pretty cool. I'm excited about it because it just seems original, and it seems like it has something going on in it that other games don't have. And even if it's not a game that I would normally play, their pitch on it makes me want to play it, which is what's, I think, very impressive about it. I think in general, Ubisoft, you know, I think that they had extra emphasis put on them because Sony wasn't there. So I think everybody had a little extra emphasis put on them because one of the big dogs wasn't there. They had what I would call like their normal type of press conference, you know.
Yeah.
There was like Just Dance was there. They did like they did weird stuff. But other than Watch Dogs, nothing at UB really like excited me. I think that roller derby game looks neat and I would like to try it.
I think the idea of Gods and Monsters from the studio that did AC Odyssey is really cool. That game's coming out in early 2020 or like February 2020, I think they said. And it's like, okay, that game's coming out in like 7 months.
Yeah,
I think,
and you showed nothing.
And they showed absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like they should be turning it around that fast because the team on AC Odyssey is still pumping out DLC for AC Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know, unless they farmed that out. So it just feels like weird. Like, this game's coming out in like 7-8 months and you're not showing me anything.
I wonder if it's one of those like grow home, Child of Light type of smaller experience.
Why would you put your huge AC studio on it? It's a smaller experience.
Maybe they just, that's what the team wanted to do. I think that, I don't know, but the way they pitched it for it to close their press conference, I doubt that's what it was.
No, I think it has to be a bigger thing.
We'll see. We have no idea what that is. I think Ghost Recon looks cool, and it was... This was like the E3 of like, I think personable celebrities coming out and seeming relatively authentic when they talk about the thing that they're in. Because it took me a moment to realize that it was John Bernthal that came out. Like, he was like, "Hey, everybody, I'm John," and I was half paying attention to it, you know. And I was like, "Oh shit, that's John Bernthal." Came out with this dog. I think that game has promise. I think the idea seems cool, nothing they showed. They also weirdly haven't really in that reveal they showed gameplay, but like again they didn't show any gameplay. Like they were just like, here's a CG trailer of CG John Bernthal giving a speech about why he needed to be a bad guy.
Yeah,
it was very strange, and I don't know, maybe it was something about like. Everybody's marketing messaging that year was like, hey, it seems like people don't care about gameplay. I don't know, because everybody did it. So I don't know.
I have two huge thoughts about Microsoft.
Okay. Let's talk about them.
I think Microsoft dropped the ball in in one big way. Like Sony not being there, I feel like they really need to come out and hit hard on their messaging for the next console.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we got breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
While that dropped the ball, I think if you're not signed up for Game Pass, you're a fool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Game Pass, if there's a star of the show, I think it's actually Game Pass.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, for me, my takeaway from the show was that, like, wow, like, Game Pass has been very good for the last, like, I think, like, year. You know, we've seen, like, a lot of good stuff come through it, but I think right before E3 dropping, you know, Void Bastards and Outer Wilds on Game Pass and then going into E3 and announcing all of these games coming to Game Pass, announcing the PC Game Pass, announcing that essentially if you have Game Pass and Xbox Live already, you get PC Game Pass for nothing. You know, like all of those things, all of a sudden you're opening up a huge, huge library of games. And the promise of like, hey, they showed all these games too. They're like, hey, these are going to be out on Game Pass at launch.
Yeah, every single game they showed that looked awesome.
Yeah,
was it, like, I looked on the bottom of the bottom left corner of the screen. It was like also on Game Pass.
Yeah,
like all their indies, like The Outer Worlds was on Game Pass.
Yeah,
that Minecraft Dungeons is on Game Pass. Like all stuff that caught my eye, and I was like, yeah, this looks completely rad. I want to play this. It's like, oh cool, I don't have to pay anything for it. I'm already in that ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been playing stuff. I downloaded the app for PC. I've been playing like Slay the Spire with it, which is a game I've been really wanting to play and I'm really liking a lot. And I downloaded Metro because that's on both, actually. That's on PC and on console Game Pass. But yeah, they announced a lot of cool stuff. And you know, I agree with you that I wanted to know more about what Xbox was doing with the next generation of console. I wanted them to be more clear about what that was. But as always, like every year, Phil Spencer has been doing the rounds, and he was on Giant Bomb last night, and he had a big interview with, I think, GameSpot the other day, which he got into stuff too. And they asked, these people asked about the exact thing we're talking about, and he said, you know, like, one thing that they said about, you know, you guys really only talked about, and this was Jeff Gerstmann on Giant Bomb, and I'm sorry to spoil some of this for you, Justin, because I know you haven't watched it yet, says to him, you know, are you guys, like, you guys basically only said the same kind of things that Sony already said, you know, about their new box to Wired, like, oh, the load times, or whatever. And he goes, is this like a game? Is this, you know, is it sort of like you got to play the game of like, you can't reveal too much, you know, before the other guy reveals too much because you're sort of, you know, sort of trying to figure each other out. And Phil Spencer said, absolutely. You know, but he also said that, look, a lot of the stuff that people want to know, we don't know yet. You know, we know the only thing that's locked is, he said, the silicon, right? It was like the chips and the memory and the RAM, all that stuff. He's like, everything else is still being worked on. You know, like, there, I don't want to say something today that isn't going to be true in 6 months. So, you know, I think that these things are still super early. He said, like, people want to know the name. He's like, there is no name. He's like, we don't even have a list of names yet of what it could be called. We're not in that place yet. So I think that, I would like to have seen more. It turns out I don't think there was more to see at this point. Yeah.
I think that's the part that surprised me, I expected them to try and get to market first. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't hinted at anywhere or anything like that,
yeah.
But it was just my expectation with the beating they took this year and them talking about streaming and, you know, Phil Spencer saying, like, when Stadia came out, like, oh, you know, basically not their hopes, but like their beliefs were validated by Stadia, like, and what they're doing. I was like, wow, they're going to really come out on E3 and talk about their streaming. Like, you know, how is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought that they'd be like maybe 6 to 7 months away from releasing a box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought they were going to try and hit real early. So for them to come out and kind of give the same type of presentation they did for Scorpio the year before they debuted Scorpio, I was just a bit surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they showed a lot of rad looking games,
yeah,
which I'm excited about. Again, like, I would have liked to have seen more about Halo, since the rumor about Halo is that it's making some drastic changes to the core gameplay. Yeah. And we basically got just a very nice looking trailer of Master Chief looking cool in his armor and some like scary Cortana voice. But I would have liked to have seen, like, even if it was just like they brought out the guys from 343 and they're like, you know, this is Master Chief's next adventure, and you know, here are some things that we'll be doing differently, or just like just something like a little bit more, a little bit more breadcrumbs.
I mean, that's
for
next
me
E3, right? Because it's next next E3, the game's still not even out. The game's still 6 months from being out. So
geez, it's just
five months from being out. So I think that's what next year is going to be. And you know, the other thing, let's talk about weird thing. Gears 5, which is coming out in September, didn't show any gameplay of the core campaign, of the multiplayer, of the horde mode, of the new escape mode. They didn't show any actual gameplay. I do not understand what is going on. I don't understand.
You can go watch some of that. I think they have the escape gameplay up now.
Right.
Like, it's like, it's almost like they're like, hey, this is what we're doing. Here's a CG trailer to give you proof of concept, and like, come check out our gameplay afterwards.
Yeah.
It's and, just, and it's so different than what it used to be.
It's a lot, it's like what Nintendo has been doing for 5 years or whatever, which is like, hey, like, here's our Direct. It's 30 minutes long. And then we're going to stream all for 3 days and show you in-depth stuff of these games. But like, I understand getting deep on games in these sort of after things, but like the majority of people aren't going to watch those. They're just going to watch the press conference.
Yeah.
And I just think it's weird to not do that. I mean, again, I'm pretty sure that if you're going to Gears 5 is on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you can play it, obviously. And I have a feeling there must be like, well, if people are going to play Gears of War, like they're gonna play Gears of War, like we don't have to get into it too much, but it was just a weird thing because I am excited to play Gears, like, and that new mode sounds rad, but who knows what it's gonna be. So for me, I think, I'm very excited about the new season of Apex Legends.
Of course,
say that. The new character seems rad, totally different type of character than they put out before. She has like a defensive thing where she puts up these like barriers, and if enemies walk through them, I'm pretty sure they take some damage, but also that they ping on everybody's radar. And she also, and her ultimate is she puts out this thing that like supercharges your shields and your ability cooldown, and it lasts until it gets destroyed. So it doesn't disappear after like a certain amount of time.
It's gonna change the meta.
Seems neat. New battle pass stuff seems cool. You know, getting rid of all of like the stat trackers and badges from the premium pass is cool. The new skins seem like they're gonna be good. Like they showed like this caustic skin where he looks like a knight or whatever, and it was like neat. I was like, okay, finally they're doing stuff that is like cool. I'm still not gonna pay, you know. I guess they never put on, no, they do put skins on sale, don't they? They're like $10 for skins for guns and for characters, and it's like ridiculous. So I'm really excited about that. What did you think about the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order stuff?
So I thought like, okay, like it looks like they're making a very nice linear Star Wars / Uncharted game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started hearing reports on Twitter of people like, man, they really should have shown that game, like the behind closed doors gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's way better.
Mm.
Like a lot of it sounds like Sekiro combat.
Yeah.
And it's like taking inspiration from Dark Souls. And I think, you know, that was out there very early. This thing is pulling inspiration from a bunch of different games, one of them being Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat sounds much more interesting. And people who had hands-on with, like, things that we didn't get to see say that that's the stuff that they should have shown. Like, not that what they showed looked bad or whatever. It's just, you know, like, we look at it and be like, okay, cool, Uncharted with lightsabers. Like,
yeah.
I'm there day one for that. Like, that looks really cool. But this other stuff sounds like it has a potentially different wrinkle to it that makes me more excited than I already was.
For me, first of all, I'll give them credit. They just played the game, right? They just like booted up the game and played it. I don't know if somebody was actually playing it, but it was gameplay, right? I felt like we could have seen, I would love to see that gameplay, and then I would love to have seen like, hey, here's like what the game is about. You know what I mean? Because they still haven't really, that teaser trailer they showed earlier, like it kind of does, but not, it just shows you like, being a Jedi's bad. Like that's like all like the first one, all the we know at this point. And for a Star Wars game, no matter how good it plays, like that's what I'm there for, is like the universe shit and like the story stuff. So I'm fascinated to see like what that stuff is, because like a game like The Force Unleashed, which is like not a great game, but I thought was a very entertaining Star Wars story. I have very fond memories of that game because of that. So, but I do hear the combat is interesting, and it's great that it's not just like mashy stuff. So for me, I think of all of the press conferences in quotes, because you know they are what they are. But the Nintendo Direct, I think, was by far the best to me. Even though I think Microsoft did a good job and they showed a lot of rad games, I feel like, mostly because we talked about this at the beginning, Nintendo is in a much easier position, right? They're just like, hey, we're in the middle of our very successful console's life cycle. Here are the games that we're working on right now and that are coming out relatively soon, which is a much easier pitch than like, here's some stuff. We're also working on something else. We can't really show you. Okay. You know, that all that kind of stuff. So what did you think of Nintendo, Justin?
I thought it was great. A lot of like, you know, for me, I expected them to just do what they've been doing lately for their E3 Directs, which is like, this is the stuff that's coming out this year. So we got to see a big gameplay splash for Luigi's Mansion 3. Looks awesome.
Yeah.
Guigi, yeah. All I know is that Jorah is way into it.
I bet.
So we had assumed that Animal Crossing, or we were told Animal Crossing was coming out 2019. It got a slight delay into March, mostly because they want the game to be great and they didn't want to have crunch. I can totally respect that.
Yeah.
And I've never played an Animal Crossing. I'm guessing I'm going to play an Animal Crossing this year for the first time, or early next year. What else did they show? You know, a lot of the summer stuff that they have coming out. So like Ultimate Alliance 3 and Astral Chain. And was Astral Chain?
Astral Chain's coming in August.
Okay. Yeah.
That one's crazy because they just showed that for the first time like a few months ago.
Yeah. And then I feel like I'm forgetting one, but they ended on a big showstopper when they're like, oh, by the way, here's a, you know, a little trailer for the sequel to Breath of the Wilds.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh. I was expecting that to be, what did I expect that to be? Like I thought it would be like they show like maybe a little bit of Bayonetta, or maybe like a remaster of like the Galaxy games or something. Like I've been hoping that they're going to do a Breath of the Wild sequel, but I was not expecting them to announce one this year.
Right. Yeah.
Which so they'll check back in on that in like 4 years or whatever. Yeah,
I'm wondering because like people are, you know, very much comparing it to like Majora's Mask, right? Where it's just like, it's because there aren't a lot of sequels to Zelda games, right? There, most of the time it's a totally new thing. It's a totally new world, totally new engine, totally new look. And this is keeping the same like look and feel and world. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to take as long as a traditional Zelda game would take to come out, because they've already done a lot of the work. Usually that makes these games take so long to come out. So I would guess probably was Breath of the Wild came out 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
I wouldn't be surprised if that game is a holiday 2020 game.
Wow.
Honestly.
That'd be cool. Oh, the other thing I forgot was Link's Awakening. We saw more Link's Awakening, which also seems really cool.
Yeah, it seems very cool. I love the way it looks. Zelda game I've never played, so I'm totally game for that.
Pick a Zelda game other than Breath of the Wild. Just pick one. Because I haven't played it.
I know, which is crazy. What was I gonna say? Okay, so also Nintendo did a great job. They announced two Smash characters, the hero from Dragon Quest And you can, there's a whole bunch of different like looks for them, like ones across the years of the game. But they also announced Banjo-Kazooie as another character, and they did so in a wonderfully trolling way with one of their little animated things.
We saw that that's how they announced King K. Rool.
Yeah.
In that exact same trailer.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really great. And like my favorite part of the whole trailer was King K. Rool, Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong are like going out of their minds that it's Banjo and Kazooie. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
It was really cool. They have a lot of games coming out this year. Like we were talking about it. Luigi's Mansion, they've got Fire Emblem, they've got Link's Awakening, they've got Pokemon, you know, they've got Luigi's Mansion. Like they've got a lot of stuff coming out this year. Super Mario Maker 2 is out in a couple of weeks, right? So they're going to have one of those, like, I think very, very strong years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to happen. And I think, I mean, obviously Pokemon's going to be huge, right? I mean, and that's the thing, like, it's you starting to know this, right? Because you have a kid who was obsessed with Pokemon. But I think that a lot of times we don't think about how popular Pokemon is, and this is the first time that it really has a real console version of a real Pokemon game. And I think it's going to be
this thing is going to
nuts popular.
Probably be the best-selling game on the console after 4 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're gonna have a big year. I think that little stuff looks cool. I think Astral Chain looks dope. Like I think it looks like hopefully it's a good platinum game, you know. And hopefully once that game's out, we get to see something of Bayonetta 3 because I'm very excited to see that. No Metroid, which that was the only other thing I thought like when that trailer started because it was like blue, like you know, like little like thing. I was like, oh, is this gonna be like some sort of Metroid thing? But no, it was a Zelda thing, which is great. And Nintendo did one of their delightfully corny, stupid things at the beginning where they had like animated Bowser come out as like the head of Nintendo of America because the head of Nintendo of America's last name is Bowser. It's stupid and corny, but I'm glad they still do shit like that.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think that... Did we hit a Bethesda?
That's the one I was waiting for.
Yeah, Bethesda. So,
I'll tell you what I thought. I thought Bethesda actually had a pretty decent conference. I mean, we're not interested in the Elder Scrolls Blades or the card game. So, like, that stuff just goes, like, in one ear and out the other. But there are plenty of people that do.
Yeah.
I thought that they came out and they took it on the chin about 76, about Fallout 76.
They did take it on the chin, but Todd Howard was also like, but guess what? It launched rough, but like, it's so popular. Like, you know, I was like, okay, like, I know you can't go all the way, but like, your game was fucked, dude. Like,
it was seriously, and I like Bethesda games. That thing was broken as all hell.
Yeah.
But like, I'm encouraged to the fact that they're still working on it.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
They're
bringing
in those human NPCs. Like, I looked at it the other day and I was like, this is $11. Like, maybe I'll pick this up. I didn't because we didn't talk about it, but I at least thought about it. But I think that they had, a pretty strong show. Again, another thing that doesn't show any gameplay, but I almost kind of expect that because like you're just announcing it and it's probably like a year or two away, is I thought the idea of Deathloop sounds really interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I like Arcane games play. So another one of those with like this type of surrounding of like two people who can't die and keep going back and like, you know, going back and waking up after they die, trying to kill each other. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. For something like that, I'm totally fine with there being just being a CG trailer. It's like that I expect because that is that's how you announce a game for the first time. That's not coming out like soon. Yeah. You know, there's no date on that game. So I'm fine with that. It was just the other part that got to me. I think Deathloop looks cool, but Doom, they did it, right? They were just like, here's what Doom looks like, you know? And like, that's what I love, right? And like, the Doom Slayer gets in that giant BFG cannon and shoots himself onto a planet. And it's like, I'm like, I am here for this 100%. This game knows exactly what it's going to be. I am, you know, incredibly excited for that game. So I was really excited before they showed any of that stuff at the end of that press conference. So I am there for that 100%. Wolfenstein looks rad. We haven't really seen much more of it than we saw before, but I don't need to see more of it.
No.
Jeff from Giant Bomb though does say that, like, I don't know, did you listen to that editor check-in when they talked about it?
Yeah,
or whatever?
It's not like that. They went with a very synthy vibe, but like 80s yeah. vibe to it, where you're just like running around blowing stuff up, and it's more of like a
teen, like, yeah, romp kind yeah. of thing is what he said. Yeah,
that, which he also said seems really great.
Yeah.
So either way, no matter what that game appears like it's going to be, it looks really cool, and we're going to play that together in co-op.
Yeah, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really, really looking forward to that part of it, for sure. But yeah, sorry, my mic is being weird. Okay. So yeah, so I'm totally down for that. I am like digging on that big time. And then, other than that, what else did they show anything else? There's DLC coming for Rage 2. Which, whatever. And I think that, oh, the Ghostwire Tokyo game from the
oh,
guy,
yeah.
from
That's
the
right.
team that did Evil Within. They just showed like a CG trailer thing for that. And it's just very like a mood piece, which is fine. But that woman they brought out, who I guess is the director of the game, was
adorable.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. The very good spokesperson for your video game to yeah. come out and talk. So that was cool. I liked that a lot. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And the thing about it, I don't think the show was like this apocalyptic, like end to E3 that a lot of people or some people were guessing it may be. I think they showed cool games. I think that, you know, no matter what Sony does, and it's a big deal that Sony wasn't here, don't get me wrong, but, you know, And everyone thought like, oh, well, EA also isn't doing anything, but it was really a press conference. It was just a press conference, but they didn't have that much to show, so they did it like a series of like live streams.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, but it was 2.5 hours long. They showed a couple, they showed games. They probably spent a little bit longer on games than normally would, but it was basically a press conference. You know, EA is there showing stuff, Ubisoft's there showing stuff, Square is there showing stuff, Microsoft's there, Nintendo's there. And they brought games. Like, it wasn't like they sat back and said, okay, we're not going to show anything here. Like, they brought their big stuff to bear.
They brought Keanu Reeves out.
They did, which was amazing.
To wave to the crowd and to be yeah. super hyped about Cyberpunk. Can I give you another hot take?
Yeah.
I don't like the fact Keanu Reeves is in the game.
Oh, really? Why?
I think I'm going to look at the whole, like, because apparently he has the second most voice lines in the game, like at least, yeah. I think it was like 15 hours worth of voice mm-hmm. line or something like that. No, it had to be more mm-hmm. than that. But like, I'm going to look at him the whole time and be like, there's Keanu Reeves. Like, it kind of just like pulls you out of it a little bit.
Mm.
Okay. I'd much rather hit if he was going to be in the game, be like a kind of like a bit player in it or whatever. Mm. But you're not getting Keanu Reeves to be a bit player, so he's yeah. going to be there with you the whole time, which kind of just leaves me feeling like, cool, but like I'm going to be concentrating on Keanu Reeves for most of the time.
I didn't read about, I know they talked about his role a little bit more in depth or whatever in articles, but it seems like he's like not real. Like when you see him pop up in the trailer, it looks like he's like phasing in and out of reality.
I think I read the same thing. His character died in, I could be totally wrong. I read this quickly over Twitter, but his character died in Cyberpunk 2022.
Okay.
And he's not really there. Okay. That's what it seemed like. Mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong, but like I said, I was scrolling on Twitter and I caught that really quickly before I had to like answer a phone or something.
Interesting.
But yeah, so, I mean, we got a release date for Cyberpunk, which I wasn't expecting yeah. either.
Yeah, we got a release date for that. I'm theoretically very interested in that game, but I still haven't, like, I just wish that I had seen, I guess, more or something different than that they showed.
Did you watch that big 45-minute thing they dumped last year?
Yes, I did. I think, yes, I did watch it. And it looks cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm interested in the game, but like for a game for a game that's so hyped, for a game that showed so well last year, I thought the trailer itself was not anything like to write home about. And that was the thing too. A lot of these trailers that were CG, it wasn't even like they were like, or not, you know, not gameplay. It wasn't even like they were like amazing to watch. That was the other part of it too. That was weird. It was like, okay, if you're going to do like a non gameplay trailer, like blow me away, you know, do think like, and that didn't happen either.
Yeah.
It was a weird year for how they showed games. I don't know why they did it that way, necessarily. Like, well, even like the Halo thing was neat, but it was just like a guy finds Master Chief floating in the air and then he's on a ship. And then we get that reveal, right? Which I guess looks like Earth was destroyed. I think that's what, is that what it's trying that's, to
No, that was, it was a Halo that it was destroyed.
One, yeah, but he said we lost, right? So like, I don't.
Maybe they were settled. Maybe they were settled on one of the rings. I don't know. Yeah, but that was a ring that was destroyed.
No, I know that. But I was assuming that it was like, oh, something else was destroyed that was supposed to be there. I don't know. And then Master Chief runs out the airlock or whatever. And then that's it. You know? And it's like, I'm not expecting a lot from Halo Infinite. Don't get me wrong. At this point, a year away. But
at least make it something you want to rewatch.
Exactly. Exactly. And there was not a lot of that at all this year to me. No. That was like, I really want to watch that again. I mean, and it was the weird thing about Sony not being there too was that just like less games get shown, right? Like Control, it's on the show floor. If you watch GameSpot, they've shown long gameplay demos of it, but like it wasn't anywhere, you know, because who's publishing Control doesn't have a press conference. Microsoft's was probably filled up, and I think they premiered last year at Sony, so I'm guessing they have some sort of like thing with them, you know, or something. So that was that, like that kind of thing. That's like a weird thing that doesn't happen. Like I mentioned GTFO to you via text. You're like, oh yeah, that game exists. Like this would have been a time for it to be somewhere. You know what I mean? Like that, like that's the kind of thing that was just a weird thing to not see that stuff up there. But you know, I mean, the way the world works now and the way the games thing works now, like, I mean, we're going to know all about that stuff. We're going to see trailers of it. It's just fun. The show of it is fun to me. Like the experience of it all being in one place over a couple of days. I want it to be good.
Well, we have the dates for next year. Maybe you and I will find ourselves there.
Maybe.
It'd be a good one to go to. Because
hopefully Sony's back.
I think Sony will be back and they'll announce both boxes. And we'll have to find our way into those crowds.
I think both boxes will have been announced before we get to E3 next.
Well, yeah, I mean they were last time out, but then they really showed like pricing and all that stuff. And
yeah, one of the things Phil Spencer said, he's like, I'm glad that we announced that we're doing something and Sony announced they're doing something. He's like, I hate the. Obviously we're doing something, but we can't tell you we're doing it.
Yeah, it's
part of the whole like loop of it, you know?
It's a weird thing.
Which is nice. I mean, we know Xbox is coming. We knew what we know. Like, you know, we knew it was happening anyway, but it's not that they are out there. Because we will get more details now, like sort of like slow drip to us than you would normally. But I don't know. PS5, Xbox, some weird ass second word that makes no sense. Will be out in 2020.
Yeah.
And we got one question actually from a listener about all of this. I wanted to get it. Addy Adam on our Discord says, one thing I'm worried about going into the next gen is backwards compatibility since my entire library is all digital. Do you think all my purchases from this generation will carry over to the next? For example, if I buy Cyberpunk 2077 on my PS4, will I be able to play it when I get my PS5 right out of the box? Or do you think Sony will charge a fee for an upgraded PS5 version? So I think that's it's a great question. First of all, it's sort of two questions because I think that Sony has said that everything from the PS4 is going to work on the PS5. I'm going to assume that means that if you have a digital version of Cyberpunk 2077, you're at least going to get to play the PS4 quality version on your PS5.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
That would be mine as well, because I feel like if they were going to upcharge you, let's say it was $10 to get to the PS5 specs of that game, You'd be playing almost like, you know, with like a different thing. Like you'd be playing a PS5 game at that point. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like your digital, like they have to, you know, especially because Microsoft's making such a big deal about backwards compatibility anyway. Your digital purchases, which they're pushing, should theoretically carry over, and then they might upsell you to get to a PS5 port of that game, or, you know, you can go out and just buy a PS5 version of that game.
So, Sony, I'm not sure how they're going to handle that aspect of it. This question was actually asked to Phil Spencer. and he said, like, I don't want to say 100% on anything, but because if you look at our history, if you buy the game, if you buy Halo Infinite on the Xbox One, and then 6 months later you buy an Xbox Scarlet, he's like, I don't see the benefit for us to charge you to get onto the Scarlet version of the game. In the end, like the short term gain there is hurts the long term, which is we want as many players playing like the best version of the game possible. Any game that's like improved or carries over, I think you'll be playing the best version of it on whatever console they've got, and as long as you buy digitally. It's not like there isn't like precedent for this. Like look at like Journey and their little games, right? But like, if you bought Journey on the PS3, when it came to PS4, I believe you just got it. I don't think you had to repurchase it. So I think that if they're smart, I think it'd be very antiquated to charge you a fee to play an upgraded version, considering I think they're going just to be the same versions of the game, but with higher specs unlocked, depending on machine you play on, just like the PC version would be. Like that, so I could be wrong. I'm not a game developer, but I think that my estimation is that there's going to be one set of code for Cyberpunk 2077 for the Xbox, and it's just going to lock you down to a worse quality settings if you're playing on the One versus playing on the Scarlet. Like that would be my estimation of how that works.
Let's hope.
Especially because it's not like if you upgrade your video card and your CPU and your motherboard, you have to buy a new version of The Witcher. You know, like it just works. You know, so. And I think especially Microsoft is very much on that train. Sony, who the hell knows what they're going to do. But it's my feeling that it's going to sort of be the industry standard for that. So, no, that's not me saying, like, if, let's say, a game gets made for PS4. Let's say you're playing God of War, right, on the PS4. And it works on your PS5, but it's the PS4 version. And then Sony decides to do like a quote unquote remaster of God of War to, you know, up the textures, up the resolution, up frame rate, whatever. And there's like man hours put into doing that. I don't necessarily think you're gonna get that for free, nor should you get that for free, right? But I think that if it's the same game, then I think that it wouldn't make much sense.
I think, especially if they're releasing I think that's the big distinction, right? Because not every PS4 game is going to get a PS5 release. Right, Cyberpunk is the first game that's like, I can't think kind of openly talking about it, even though they haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
They pretty much said today in one of the interviews they had to get, I think it was with Eurogamer, that like, yeah, that's going to be coming. And so that's where I could see them, you know, pushing it forward a little bit. But if they released like a God of War remaster, like you said, like that would make sense to charge somebody for.
Yeah. But maybe they don't. Like that's a first party game, so I think that's probably the wrong analogy to push, right? Because I feel like with first party stuff, they would probably go ahead and just do it if you have the digital version of it or something.
Who knows?
Who knows? It's a whole other, but I would say that I would feel, because of what they've said, what they've both said, I would feel safe in believing that at the very least your PS4 digital games are going to work on the PS5.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they've said everything is going to be back compat, you know, with the previous system. So that has to mean that your digital library is going to carry over.
I mean, they've seen Nintendo screw this up so many times that they should realize, like, okay, yeah, something we have to
do. It's nuts. I mean, it's also, they've also kind of, when they went from PS3 to PS4, your games didn't carry over, you know? Yeah,
but at the same time, those purchases didn't carry over, but nothing did, you know? Like, it wasn't backwards compatible.
Absolutely, so I know.
Those games are built to run on the cell.
Yes. No, absolutely. I'm not saying that, I'm just saying, like, in general, they've seen, like, the... You know, I think the issues with that happening, yeah. Right? And I think just that even though it really doesn't matter on a real technical level, I think mentally people can more accept that, hey, this old disc doesn't work in the new machine more than they can accept this file doesn't play on the new machine. You know,
you're right.
So I think that they need to make sure they address that stuff. I think we're going to see a lot of positive changes in the way that stuff is handled in this generation, 100%. And I think a lot of that can be given credit to Microsoft for, because Microsoft, because they were behind, had to push a lot of, you know, consumer-friendly agendas, you know, to the forefront. And I think that is pushing Sony to do similar things. So we can thank the Xbox for having a terrible launch for, I think, a lot of the good stuff we're going to be seeing in the next generation.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's going to, I don't have anything to say about E3. I don't know if you do, Justin.
No. Like, weird, exciting, mm-hmm. but weird. And yeah. I can't wait for next year's.
Yeah. Just quickly, Justin and I actually played other games than Battle Royale games in the past month. We both finished a single player game. I finished Rage 2 and Justin finished Days Gone. Very quickly, Rage 2 plays very well. Boy, is it undercooked and kind of bland. Like, that's sort of my overall kind of like top level view of it, which is that it's just, I encountered in two separate story missions. Mind you, there's only like 9 story missions. In two successive story missions, I encountered what was almost 2 game-breaking bugs.
Oh, I played for an hour and encountered one where I had to reload a different save.
Okay, so there you go. There's weird audio glitches. It just feels like it didn't get enough time. The shooting feels nice. It's tight. It's fun. Some of the powers are interesting, and as you level them up and you get different ones, there are some pretty cool ones. Including one where, like, you can, like, jump up in the air and, like, smash the ground. And you can put up a shield, and when that shield gets shot, it recharges your, like, other special abilities, which is neat. But the mission structure and the world is just below boilerplate as far as like how it's put together. There is a great game somewhere in the DNA of Rage 2, but it did not come to the forefront of what it was. Also, for what they claimed to be such a big game when they were promoting it, it took me 9.5 hours to beat it. And that wasn't even really mainlining it. Like, I ended up mainlining near the end, but I did like a good amount of side shit. So not a long game either.
On the opposite side of the spectrum,
yeah,
Dying Light, is it Dying Light? God, no. Days Gone.
No, Days Gone.
I was thinking of Dying Light because we didn't talk about that, and I'm excited for that. Days Gone right, yeah. is an extremely long video game that I ended up greatly enjoying. I kind of was taken after a while with the characters. You know, you'd think a character named Deacon St. John couldn't be really likable, and for like wide swath of the game, he's really not. But the story takes a couple left turns where I never expected it to. And like those characters ended up really growing on me. And like, I kind of understood why they decided to do. And like, you know, most people viewed it as a big joke of like, you know, The Walking Dead meets Sons of Anarchy. But like, I understood why they used a biker gang. Like, if you're traveling around in a post-apocalyptic world, like, and you don't want to use horses, which they would do in any other, like, you know, RPG open world, you wanted something similar to it. And so, yeah, you have motorcycles or dirt bikes. I mean, you don't ever ride a dirt bike, but you see other people doing it. And like, I found that to be interesting, the way that you upgrade your bike and stuff. And the thing about the game that's actually really surprising is at the point where I was pretty much sure that it was over, I was only halfway through.
Yeah.
Which I was initially super bummed about, but the story takes such a hard turn there that I just was more engaged. And it's one of those, I think one of the first RPGs I've ever played or open world games I've ever played with an actual end game. Like, end game stuff is usually designed for stuff like Destiny or The Division. Mm-hmm. But during their first like E3 thing, they showed like what happens when you face a horde, and you can run into those hordes early in the game, but you have no chance of survival. None. No, if you do everything right, you're still not going to do it because you don't have the ability to carry the right types of things to take them down. Your inventory slots aren't big enough. So they really, at the end of the game, like, they encourage you, like, all right, cool, you beat the story. Now go get all these hordes that are out. And like, I actually found the hordes to be probably the most fun part of the game because you're surviving for like, let's say like 11 or 12 minutes against 1,000 zombies. And it is like, you don't have room to breathe. Like, you're just running and throwing things and trying to, like, set up traps. And I died a bunch of times and, like, had to come back to it and try some new things. And I ended up really enjoying it. And they do a cool thing where they set up for the next game, like, way deep. And the story was really good. Like, the story, the zombies, like, the way that they're doing it, the world that they created, it's bleak, but it's interesting. And so, yeah, like, I was thinking like, hey, you know, this will be an open world game where I'll like it for X amount of hours and then I'll just end up just like playing it just to finish it, but like it'll just be like a mindless thing, and I ended up really enjoying it, so I liked it.
Nice. I've also been playing two rogue-like light run-based games, one called Void Bastards, which is like a made by some former with BioShock devs, where you're going through these like derelict spaceships trying to collect like junk for this corporation, and when you die, another person replaces you, and you go through, you're trying to buy your freedom, basically. It's got good personality, it's fun, it's a very forgiving roguelike in that basically every upgrade you get, every piece of like tech you collect stays with you run to run. So there are like milestones in like the progression. Like, you're trying to make this ID card and you get two parts of it. And once you get one part of it, it's not like when you die, you have to go back and get both again. You already have the one, you can go from there. It's good. It's just like any other run based game. Sometimes you get a bad like set of randomly generated shit that's really hard and you crap out early. And sometimes you get lucky and you kind of roll through it. That one, and I've been playing Slay the Spire, which I mentioned, which is a card-based roguelike, which is awesome, and I'm addicted to it, but man, can it be punishing as hell. Like, there are just times where you get to a space, and it's like, here are these enemies, and you just get rolled over, and it's just like, that's the end of the run, and you start from the beginning again. My first run, I got to the third boss, which is the last boss, and died, and I haven't gotten past the second boss since. So it's been something. It's on Game Pass for PC. It's on Switch. It's on regular PC. It's on PS4. If you've got a PC and you've got Game Pass, you can run it on anything. So download it and play it. It's pretty awesome. That's what I'm. And also, we've been playing a lot of Overwatch.
Yeah.
That's a video game that we've been playing a lot of.
A lot of. I will say one other thing quickly. I started The Outer Wilds, which that I'm going to get into more the next time we talk, because right before we started recording, I hit the point in the video game where it's like, okay, I understand this video game and I'm very into it now.
Cool. That's awesome.
Which,
that's awesome.
So we'll talk more about that on the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. By the time we do the next show, Super Mario Maker 2 will be out, so we'll definitely be talking about that as well. And I think, well, we played the first, at least the start of the first next season of Apex Legends. So we'll have a bunch to talk about there. But I think that's going to do it for our show for this month. Follow us on Twitter at Monthly Reset. Email us monthlyresetpodcast@gmail.com. Head over to monthlyreset.com, which is our website. I started doing content creation for JoeBlow.com. So I did some stuff on their YouTube channel. I put my first video. I'm looking at Outer Wilds and some streams for them as well. Yeah, and Justin and I are going to try to get back to doing some streams, I think. We said initially we're going to do one a week. That definitely hasn't happened.
It's been a busy time.
We'll get back to it for sure. If you want to get in touch with us, though, you can follow me on Twitter at Bobby Shortle. Justin.
Parkley76.
And I think that's going to do it for this month's show. Thank you so much, Justin, for talking about E3 with me.
Thank you, Bobby, for talking about E3 with me.
And thank you to all of you for listening to us talk about E3 to you. Until next time, be good to one another.